Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan aniva nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya, hey, 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 yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, 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 yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. Music from the Mi'kmaq Drum Eastern Eagle Singers off their ABBA record CD, Sacred Flight. The name of that song was Mi'kmaq Pride. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. We begin our program with that drum song as an honor to today's guest, Native American scholar Evan Pritchard. Evan is a Mi'kmaq brother and friend of mine. He and I share many of the same concerns for the protection of Mother Earth and well-being of our life. We have this connection to each other as we are both Wabanaki, brothers of the Wabanaki Native Confederacy, commonly known as Northeastern Woodland Indians. Our homeland, the Eastern Dawnland of Turtle Island, is where the sun first rises in North America. As Brother Earth warriors, Evan and I often speak out about many important issues facing our planet. One of the most serious is what in English is termed global climate change. This is the focus of today's telephone interview. Evan and I have been taught by traditional elders the indigenous principle of caring for future generations. The issue of global climate change is therefore central to our indigenous cultural lifeways and cultural survival, not to mention ecological impacts to all other life, our relatives, Kinon-Wantaquasin, all of our relations. Indigenous peoples throughout the world have always lived with reverence and respect with our biosphere. Native cultures have very specific ceremonies and customs to ensure not only our own tribal well-being, but equally important, the well-being of our natural world relatives. In English, it is termed environmental protection. My own clan, the Wolf Clan, are known as those who watch over the health of our forests, animal, aquatic, and plant relations. Our ancient Wolf Clan responsibility to protect nature is, in fact, ecological monitoring and impact assessment. This is how and why many of the early warnings about climate change have been voiced by indigenous peoples throughout the world. In many cases, indigenous peoples are the first people most threatened by climate change. Scientists finally now substantiate what indigenous peoples have been trying to point out for many years, that major weather changes have been seen from the high Arctic to Pacific Islands. Wolf Mountain Radio has for many years been reporting on numerous times Native peoples have voiced their concerns and knowledge about global climate change. In 1998, I had the privilege to attend the Circles of Wisdom's Native Peoples, Native Homelands Climate Change Workshop and Summit, which produced the Albuquerque Declaration, which Wolf Mountain Radio listeners have heard in a previous Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program. Since then, Wolf Mountain Radio has reported on other important Indigenous Peoples forums on climate change. These include the Lyon, France Declaration, the Hague, Netherlands Declaration, the Bonn, Germany Declaration, the Indigenous Peoples Statement in Marrakesh, Morocco, the International Indigenous Peoples Forum Statement in New Delhi, India, the Milan, Italy Declaration, not to mention other venues such as the Kyoto Summit. There is little scientific doubt that global climate change is occurring at alarming rates, and that the cause of climate change is a direct result of negative human impacts on the atmosphere. Yad Kiddushi Native Center understands that global climate change is not just an ecological issue. Global climate change is also a global social and economic justice issue. The greedy exploitation of Mother Earth's energy resources, which is polluting our atmosphere, is also responsible for much of the world's socioeconomic and environmental injustices. Fighting against global climate change also means fighting against globalization. Fighting global climate change is fighting to defend and protect Mother Earth and future generations of our life. This is an important meaning of today's conversation with Evan Pritchard. Evan Pritchard is a well-respected author and educator. He is the founder and director of the Center for Algonquin Culture, CAC. Professor Pritchard teaches Native American history, ethics, and philosophy at Marist College in New York. Evan is a prolific writer, and I highly recommend his publications, which include the book No Word for Time, The Way of the Algonquin People, the book Native New Yorkers, The Legacy of the Algonquin People, and the book Native American Stories of the Sacred. We here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center are honored to know Evan as a friend who has shared his insights and knowledge with us on previous Wolf Mountain Radio programs. Importantly, our warrior brother Evan has assisted a number of Algonquin elders, such as Grandfather William Commander. I am deeply appreciative of Evan's assistance to our Native Wisdom Keepers. At the end of our program, we will announce Center for Algonquin Culture's website address for further information on the important work of scholar-activist Evan Pritchard. Evan, the issue of global climate change that we've been talking about affects all life on Mother Earth. One important aspect of this subject we've not yet mentioned is the topic of increasing energy demands and therefore a generation of pollution by what's called the Third World. Even if the so-called developed nations were to reduce energy consumption, which is at present highly questionable, the great increase in energy used by developing countries will certainly greatly influence global climate change. China, India, and Brazil exemplify this serious concern. Other less developed countries are also increasing their energy use, which will negatively impact our planet's atmosphere, thereby exacerbating global climate change. Would you please comment on this question of increasing energy consumption and therefore impact on the biosphere by the Third World?
One of the things is we can't really speak to them with authority about it because for a long time we have been the world leader in carbon emissions. And again, I'd like to say that each American, on the average, creates 5.5 metric tons per year of carbon emissions, which is phenomenal. That's many times what anyone else makes. And so it's hard for us right now to advise or consult or criticize China or India because they have for long been much more conservationist. Part of my plan, so to speak, is to get the United States with, I think New York has a good chance of being a model or a site for experimenting with reducing carbon emissions, because actually in some ways it is. But to have within 6 years to get down to 50% of current carbon emissions, which is doable through either conservation or energy source change, but then to get down to about 10% of current levels within 12 years through the mayor's initiative such as Seattle without the cooperation of the Bush people through city-by-city reinvention of our culture and technology. And to do that within 12 years, to get down to 10%, would simply slow down this algae-triggering process, would slow down the levels of CO2 in the atmosphere in terms of its increasement, and to levels where we'd buy time to develop new technology to erase current greenhouse gases through safe means, and it's very difficult. Once you've done that, then doing it, you can show people, this is what we're doing, we need you to do the same. At least you can lead by example and then put political influence on these other countries. But right now, we don't have any leg to stand on as a nation.
Before the word environment came along, we used to call her nature.
Our dear, dear mother, daily provider, earth be your name. The time has come to honor you, to know you and to show our love. You give us each day our daily grain, kissed by the sun and kissed by the rain. Teach us now to find a way to care for you in our work and play. Our dear, dear mother, daily provider, earth be your name. The time has come to honor you, to know you and to show our love. Thank you. With your forgiveness we can start anew. We need a chance to make it up to you. How did we grow so blind and deaf to your call? Out of touch, out of mind, we wandered away. And now we're looking to you to feel our way home. Yes, and with hope in our hearts, we're coming back home, home to you, our dear, dear mother, daily provider. Earth be your name, the time has come to honor you, to know you and to show our love. The time has come to honor you, to know you and to show our love.
Music from environmentalist singer-songwriter Rafi. The name of that special song was Nature, Our Dear, Dear Mother. I had the honor to hear Rafi sing that song at the 26th Annual North American Association of Environmental Educators Conference in what's now called Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the traditional homeland of the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Onetz Pritzker. My guest today is American Indian scholar Evan Pritchard. Evan is an author and educator. He teaches Native American history, ethics, and philosophy at Marist College. Professor Pritchard is also the director of the Center for Algonquin Culture. I am proud to say that Evan and I are both Wabanaki, more commonly known as Northeastern Woodland Indians. Continuing our conversation on a Native view of global climate change, I want to bring up the concept of the important Indigenous understanding that knowledge comes from Mother Earth and the teachings of the natural world. One of our Wabanaki terms for this is Kige no Lan Wogan. If Mother Earth is to be healthy, if our environment is to be protected, if we humans want to restore our biospheres, life support systems, then we must learn the wisdoms of nature. We Indigenous peoples have always understood this. This is why Native peoples throughout the world have been speaking out about global climate change, as exemplified in the many international declarations mentioned at the beginning of today's program. Evan, would you please talk about Kige no Lan Wogan?
Well, yeah, no, what I wanted to get to this point is that one of the reasons why I do think that technology should be developed to try to help reverse some of this kind of destruction is because nature has to be functioning. The biosphere has to have some basic functions for us to be able to see the signs. One of the most important signs that we can see is an eagle in the Algonquin tradition, because an eagle represents wisdom and nobility, and also the ancestors trying to give you a message.
Yes.
You know, because the eagles are messengers of sorts. So if all the eagles are dead, where are you going to get your signs?
Yes.
One of the reasons I'm advocating some, you know, technological solutions to some of these problems is because we've crossed that threshold already, according to Lovelock, and apparently according to a lot of people now, we're at that threshold where the destruction of the environment will continue even if we just all go back to living in wigwams. And, you know, wigwam is our name for the place where we live. Well, Earth is our wigwam because we live here. Those of us who would like to just simply be left alone with our eagles and our rivers and our mountains, you know, this is no longer going to be a solution. This
yes.
is simply something, a right that has to be protected, because now when you go out, you know, you have acid rain no matter how far away from civilization you are, and there's no escaping from the results of this. So this is why I'm saying technology needs to fix itself so that the rest of us can enjoy our Kige no Lan Wogan. There is a tremendous source of wisdom in nature, but if nature is sick, then it's hard to understand the wisdom, because nature has to heal
I would like for you to talk a little bit about what is called the prophecy of the seventh fire. We are now in that time when our Nichitanganoks, our ancient ancestors, our elders, talked about that a lot of the earth changes that we are seeing and witnessing, like you mentioned, some of the volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and firestorms and a lot of the...
And hydrothermal venting, by the way.
Yes, a lot of the, you know, meteorological and climate changes that are occurring, our elders knew would occur, and they understood that there would be a time called the seventh fire that you've written a lot about, that this would occur and that the people of the world would really have the choice of either follow the path of caring for the earth and of having sustainable life or not following that path and dealing with the consequences. Would you talk about the prophecy of the seventh fire and how that relates to how we as human beings can work together to minimize global climate change?
Certainly. Yeah, and I have written a lot about that, and I'm working right now a lot with William Commanda, who was the keeper of the Seven Fires Wampum Belt in Ottawa. He's going to be giving a speech on in June 21st up in Ottawa. He'll be receiving the keys to the city of Ottawa, which is the highest honor, but he'll be using that kind of opportunity to talk about global warming. We're working on creating some handouts and whatnot for that event. The Seven Fires are all about global warming, and the Hopi prophecies actually distinctly describe global warming and its effects. In the Hopi prophecies are over 1,000 years old, spoken by Masao, who came 1,000 years ago, and talked about the high winds and the wild waves and the temperature, the chaos of temperature and drought and the insects. It's all in the Hopi prophecies. And they gave up trying to tell the Bahanas, the white people, about these prophecies several years ago as a whole, and there's, of course, Grandfather Martin still speaks about it.
Yes.
But the seven fires are the length of time from when the prophets all came until the end of the period that they were predicting and describing. The end of that period, I believe, is now, and so we are in a transition period, a crossroads period, into the eighth fire. The eighth fire, if it occurs, would be a time of environmental harmony and also social harmony and spiritual upliftment for, say, 1,000 years or so. The eighth fire will last a long time, but we have no guarantee of entering the eighth fire. It's up to us entirely as to whether we make the difficult choices to change our route, so to speak, and to restore the earth to a world where children will be safe to live and play, or if we continue the road we're on, which is the easy road, then we reach, according to the Hopi and many other prophets, total destruction, total global warfare, and basically the death of everything on the planet.
Yes.
I've been talking about these prophecies somewhat carefully for 15 or so years, and also the Hopi prophecies, and I have the film that I show to some people, but generally people don't like what they see. They don't want to think about that. It's been tough, but I think now some more people will listen, and I think we have about 6 years to retool our so-called civilization and get back to the earth. So I think that could happen, but I think people have to really realize that the gun is at their head. Pete Seeger told a story yesterday here in Poughkeepsie, New York, about an actual event where there was a man at Niagara Falls with his 17-year-old daughter and a 17-month-old baby, I think, and his engine failed in his boat. He was going over Niagara Falls, and he kept putting his faith in the engine that it would work, and of course that the engine no longer worked. And so the boat was heading towards the falls, and so he told his daughter to jump out and to swim for the shore because she was strong. And then he wrapped the baby in a number of life preservers, and of course the boat went over Niagara Falls. This actually happened. The baby survived because of all the life preservers, and the girl survived because she really worked rather hard. And the man died because he put all the faith in the engine. Well, he didn't say exactly what the connection was to global warming, but if you look at some of the trigger mechanisms that you and I have been talking about, it really is very similar to going over Niagara Falls.
Yes.
In a broken boat. Because once you cross that line, you can't return. And putting your faith in the engine of industry, as it is now, is very foolish because it really no longer works for us.
Nama Chekya Nawa Wate Nama Oke Wahan Aye
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedichi Native Center. Yat Kedichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kedichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kedichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The song you heard prior to our Yat Kedichi Native Center program identification was from Hopi singer-songwriter Clark Tanahongva off his Canyon Records CD, Hote Villa, Traditional Songs from the Hopi. The name of that song was entitled Prophecy. Several years ago at Radio for Peace International Studio in Costa Rica, I had the privilege of teaching a number of RFPI journalism interns who produced RFPI's Progressive News Network. One of the PNN stories focused on global climate change, which I want to now share with today's worldwide listeners.
Over the past 20 years, scientists have been baffled by the disappearance of frogs and other amphibians throughout the world, even though indigenous peoples have noted such environmental declines for years. PNN's Steve Tingley has more.
Why are all the frogs dying? This is the question scientists have been pondering for years, as frogs and other amphibians such as salamanders, toads, and newts are facing massive die-offs. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation recently had a feature about the disappearing frogs, along with some possible explanations, including disease and environmental destruction. Australian scientists have joined the world effort to attempt to solve this so-called environmental mystery of the drastic decline of frog numbers. Many scientists acknowledge that frogs and other amphibians are important and vital creatures in ecosystems, and that large declines in populations, as well as extinctions of species, is believed to be a clear warning sign of wider environmental problems. In what is now called Queensland, Australia, an Aboriginal homeland, park officials have noted the severe problem of frog disappearance as the local scientists search for answers. One official said, quote, "Especially in the wet tropics here, the number of species gone missing and the population declines have been most dramatic," end quote. Right here in Costa Rica, the golden toad, which used to occupy highland forests near Monteverde, has become extinct. The formerly cool, moist habitat of the golden toad has changed to a warmer and drier place with fewer mists and higher clouds. The result is that the beautiful golden toad fell prey to infection due to the warmer temperatures there. And at the heart of the problem of frog disappearance lies the question of what is the real cause. For example, Australian scientists have discovered and identified two diseases that are causing frog die-offs. One is a fungal infection in Australia, United States, and Central and South America. The other is a viral infection in the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. These diseases are possibly the results of environmental damage by humans. Scientists have noted how the increase of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide poured out of exhaust pipes and other forms of fossil fuel burning has contributed to rising temperatures in the world. This climate change has allowed infections to enter new habitats. Frogs and toads around the world are showing abnormal deformities and skin lesions as a result of their sensitivity to rising temperatures and increased exposure to ultraviolet radiation. But the problem is not only climate change. As production byproducts and other pathogens are introduced into new habitats and wildlife populations, diseases in frogs, as well as other animals, become more common. But enough technical talk. The fact is, frogs and other plants and animal species are dying on a worldwide scale, and as science searches for answers and asks why, indigenous peoples throughout the world have witnessed firsthand environmental destruction for years. Scientists call the loss of frog species a mystery, but it is not hard for traditional indigenous people like Oness, a Native American ecologist and journalist, to speak on the concerns of this environmental destruction. Oness?
Akwe, greetings. That's how we say hello. Thank you for listening. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of Sacred Mother Earth. Indigenous cultural life ways are based on honoring Mother Earth, caring for all life. In my Wabanaki language, we say Kinawantakusin to all of our relations. This word expresses our reverence for our relatives of the natural world, in what in English is called the environment. Native peoples consider the animals and plants, trees, birds, fish, and marine life as our brothers and sisters. We are to care for Mother Earth, what you call the environment. Throughout the world, indigenous peoples have lived with nature from the time of our creation, as the Aborigines call our dream time. In our cultural ways, we have developed a detailed knowledge of our relatives, the habitats of fauna and flora. Our physical survival and spiritual ceremonies are based on the animals and plants from whom we love and honor. In this regard, Native peoples understand our ecosystems very well. Traditional knowledge is passed down through our generations on the well-being of Mother Earth and what threats are impacting nature. Native elders are very concerned about the environment, the destruction of Mother Earth, the loss of plant and animal species. We have witnessed firsthand ecological impacts on pollution, the destruction of forests, the advancement of desertification, death of marine life, and general changes due to what scientists call global warming. Some of the examples that you might be concerned about is your story talks about frogs are prime examples of these sensitive individual species we call indicator species in biology. Within my own Native American community, for example, we have very specific examples that have been reported in the media about frogs. In my own homeland, the Wabanaki Territory, it was now called the Northeast United States, Southern Canada, our sacred tree, the maple trees, are dying. In the Arctic, caribou, for example, have been reported going blind. There was a very important conference in Albuquerque in 1998, co-sponsored by NASA, National Aeronautics Space Administration. One of their offices invited traditional Native elders from different parts of the world, many North American Indians as we're called, to present testimony on some of our traditional knowledge and observations to the natural world and some of the ecological impacts that we have witnessed. Some of the Yupik and Inupiaq people, you call Eskimo, the circumpolar peoples, have talked about the loss of glacial ice, for example, that the ice packs are not forming so long. They're taking much shorter periods of time, and the ice is not thick. That might not sound very important to some people, but the thickness and duration of the northern ice fields is the habitat of the animals and plants that my brothers and sisters in the north depend upon. The beautiful polar bear, Arctic marine life, seals and walrus and birds, ducks, and some of the other animals and plants that my relatives depend upon, as I do in my own homeland, their habitats have been disrupted as a result of this issue of global warming and impact to the ozone layer. There are holes in the ozone from what we've heard now in Antarctica. And so there's very visible signs from the animal and plant life that their life cycles are being disrupted, and that directly threatens the cultural survival of many indigenous peoples. And native peoples throughout the world were kind of like the miner's canary. What happens to us first is basically going to happen to all the other human beings.
Thank you, Ernest. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I just want to re-express our sincere word, that is, Kinewantakusin, to all of our relations.
Thank you, Ernest. Reporting for PNN, this is Steve Tingley.
Mama jara 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 mama jara jara mama jara 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 mama
The music you just heard was a traditional song from the Kalwande people of what's now called Nerang, Queensland, Australia. The music is from the Aboriginal band Nunkul Kunjil, which gifted Yad Kiddushi Native Center co-director Betty Hurst their CD when she heard them in concert during a trip she made to their homeland, now called Australia. The name of that song was Jara, Mother Earth. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. We want to again thank today's program guest, Native American scholar Evan Pritchard, for sharing his thoughts with us on global climate change in Native View. Listeners who wish to learn more about the Center for Algonquin Culture can visit the website www.wilkesweb.us/Algonquin Nations or write to Center for Algonquin Culture, P.O. Box 1028, Woodstock, New York, zip code 12498, USA. Once again, listeners who wish to learn more about the Center for Algonquin Culture can visit Evan's website, www.wilkesweb.us/algonquin/NATIONS, or write to CAC, P.O. Box 1028, Woodstock, New York, zip code 12498, USA. We highly recommend reading Professor Pritchard's excellent books, which can be viewed on the CAC's website. Evan is the author of No Word for Time, The Way of the Algonquin People, the book Native New Yorkers, The Legacy of Algonquin People of New York, the book Native American Stories of the Sacred, and other fine publications listed on CAC's website. Please contact Center for Algonquin Culture's Residence Communications for more information and ordering by telephoning area code 212-714-7151. You can order Evan's books by telephoning area code 212-714-7151. You can also contact Evan Pritchard and order his publications by email. The email address is resman7777@earthlink.net. Once again, Center for Algonquin Culture's email address is resman7777@earthlink.net. As always, we invite Wolf Mountain Radio listeners to learn more about Yad Kiddushi Native Center by visiting our website, www.yadkiddushi.org. Once again, listeners can learn more about Yad Kiddushi Native Center website at www.yadkiddushi.org. We also welcome listeners' comments and suggestions. Please feel free to email us at yadkiddushi@earthlink.net. Once again, email us at yadkiddushi@earthlink.net. We shall conclude today's program with a song from Walela and Joanne Shenandoah off their Silverwave Records CD, Sacred Ground, A Tribute to Mother Earth. The name of the song is Mother Earth. Thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Mother Earth, with your fields of green, once more laid down by the hungry hand, how long can you give and not receive and feed this world ruled by greed? back to Mother Earth and her giving way, or trade away our children.